I'd encourage you to open your Bibles this morning to Galatians chapter 5. Be reading a few verses there to get our minds set for our lesson. We continue our study this morning in a series of lessons that we plan to have for the next 2 or 3 weeks, maybe up until the gospel meeting, perhaps, in the 1st of June. We began that series last Sunday morning with two lessons about the fact that God's Word throughout the Bible, from Genesis 1 all the way through Revelation, deals with mankind and the fact of how we came to be here, how the earth came to be here, how the universe came to be, what our responsibilities are while we are here, and the options of eternity, either heaven or hell, and how we're to conduct our lives here on this earth, the consequences if we do not obey God, and the rewards if we do obey God. And so the Word of God is good, and we come here each first day of the week to study it. But our series of lessons is about the fact that the Word of God throughout the Old and New Testament many times dealt with the issues of the day. Remember last Sunday morning we talked about the fact that in our lives today in 2023, in social life, in business life, in government, even in religious realm, we see that throughout the world there's chaos. There's fussing and fighting among men. There's variance of opinions as there have always been. Yet we're at the point in time where so many people have no regard for law and order, for authority, or for the rule of law in any way, shape, form, or fashion. We're also at the point in time with many people that those who disobey the law seem to be rewarded, and those who stand to be obedient to the law stand to be condemned. And so the Word of God deals with those issues, the issues that we're facing today on a daily basis in society and even in the church. We talked about last Sunday morning that worldliness can affect us as individuals, because even though we are in the world, living in the world, breathing the air in the world itself, the earth, you might say, we're not to be of the world. And the Bible uses the term of the world as those things of the world that are sinful, that are opposite and against God, such as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is the three categories of sin. And so God deals with that issue throughout the Bible, teaching us that we need to learn to control ourselves and believe in God and obey Him, so that when issues arise, such as we're facing today, sexual sins that are going on being permitted, the lies that are being told, the disregard for truth, the breaking of law, the disregard for punishing people that don't obey the law, those things are issues of the day. And we read in the Old Testament how that the issues of the day God dealt with when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. He dealt with the issue of the day, and that was sin. Eve was tempted by sin. She ate the forbidden fruit. She gave her husband, he ate, and God dealt with that issue of the day. We find that last Sunday morning we talked about Lot when he went to Sodom and Gomorrah, and he chose the land, the land to take his cattle to there, and he went away, and Abraham took the other part. He found out that when he got there in Sodom and Gomorrah, it was such a sinful city, and prayers were offered up to God that even if 10 righteous souls could be saved, that he might not destroy the city, but that could not be found. And God destroyed that city. Why? Because of the issue of the day. What was the issue of the day at Sodom and Gomorrah? It was sodomy. It was homosexuality. Men burning with men. Sin against the natural use of the body. Sin against the way God had set the natural actions of man to be. And when they did that, God destroyed them because they were so corrupt. They were so sinful. And so the issues of the day we see then are things that will affect us today if we let them. We talked about last Sunday morning the fact that the Apostle Paul, when he was in Mars Hill, there in Athens, that he observed that there were so many different idols that were being built. He observed that the whole city was taken in idolatry. And so what did Paul do while he was there? He stood in the midst of the Areopagus and he talked to the Athenians and he talked to them about the issue of the day. He said, the problem is you have all these idols built and one here is to the unknown God. And so you got all these gods and these names that you have idols to. And Paul dealt with the issue of the day and he told them, let me tell you who God is. And he explained to them who God is and how that it is in Him that we live and move and have every being, that there's only one God. So the Bible deals with the issues of the day, and that's what we'll look at in this series of studies, the Lord's will, in the next few weeks, and deal with some of the things that we're seeing in our daily lives, in society, and also issues in the church that come up when worldliness overrides the lives of Christians. So this morning, let's go back and just quickly review. Last Sunday morning, we talked about the fact that worldliness is against God. Jesus said in John chapter 18 and verse 36 that my kingdom is not of this world. We know that when we believe in God and we repent of our sins, confess Christ, and are baptized into the waters of baptism that represent the blood of Christ, that our sins are washed away, we are purchased, our sins are paid for, they're taken out of the way, and in that, Christ Himself adds us to what? To the kingdom, the church, which is one and the same. The church and the kingdom are the same. So the church, but the fact that we make up the church, we're in the world, the church is in the world, the head of the church, Christ, is seated at the right hand of God in heaven, having all authority and everything to the church, and He sent God's Word through the Holy Spirit to guide us in the church here. So our kingdom, the God's kingdom, the church, is in the world, but it's not of the world. So as Christians, we make up the church. So we're living in the world, but we're not to be of the world. So that means that my actions and your actions will many times be different from the people of the world because they may be involved in deceit. They may be involved in lying. They may be involved in sexual sins that are wrong. They may be involved in things, the use of drugs or alcohol that corrupts their body and corrupts society. And so we are not to delve in those things. We're not to be involved in those things because we're not of the world, and our job is to serve God in the kingdom as Christians, as servants of God here on this earth, obeying His will, living in a godly manner, not in a worldly manner, so that we can save our souls through obedience to God and through His grace and mercy, but also the fact that those around us in the world, that whom we work with, do business with, our neighbor or family members, those that we come in contact with, so that they may be able to see Christ in us and see us in the kingdom, that we might, through the good example that we set before them, Matthew 5, 13 through 16, lead them to Christ by the light of the gospel, by the way we live and glorify the Father in heaven, by bringing them to Christ through the influence of the Word in our life and the teaching of the Word as we do it for them. So the issue of the day is worldliness. The issue of the day has always been for man, it's worldliness, it's sin. Sin separates man from God, Romans 3:23. And the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. And so God says that His hand is not shortened that He cannot save. But what's happened? Your sins and iniquities have separated you from God. So we need to get into God's Word. I need to study His Word and find out who He is and what He expects me to be and how I can be what He wants me to be, so that I can be living in a godly manner instead of a worldly manner. As a matter of fact, we are told that as Christians in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 16, that we're to set the example for others, that we're to glorify God through Christ, and we're to be the pattern for others to follow. And so Romans 12, 1 and 2 warns us not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what's that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the issue of the day is the same issues it's always been and always will be as long as there are people on this earth, because sin exists among men and women because of our attitude. We talked about the fact that sin exists because when we lust after things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, when we do that and lust conceives, it bringeth forth sin. So we see something that's tempting, that's wrong, and we engage in it, it's conceived in our life and we're doing it, so it becomes sin. And sin, when it's finished, it bringeth forth death, both physical death
and spiritual death, because sin separates us from God. So we're to be different from the world. 1 John 2:15 through 17 warns about loving the things of the world. And so, because the world and the lust thereof is what going to be burned up. So attitude ought to be on spiritual things, heavenly things, godly things, so that we can serve God. So the issue every day, when you get up and I get up and go out in our life, the issue is within us. Are we going to let the lust of the flesh tempt us and pull us away and cause us to sin? Are we going to let the things that we see other people doing that are enticing, that we know are wrong, come in our life and be involved in those same sins? We need to be careful and don't let the issues of the day overwhelm us. So worldliness involves the lust of flesh, the lust of eyes, and the pride of life. James 1:14 through 15 says, man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed, and lust which conceived brings forth sin, and it brings forth death. And so James said in James 4 verse 4, the friendship of the world is what? Enmity with God. So worldliness is an issue. Being all the world is an issue, because when we become of the world, like the world, and engaging in the sins of the world, living in worldliness, we become an enemy of God, because whoever's a friend of the world is an enemy of God. So my duty is to learn what God wants and obey it by faith. Your duty is to do the same, that we might be pleasing to God and do what? Bring the world to Christ. The people of the world, that they might be saved. What did Jesus say in Matthew 28:19-20? Mark 16:15-16. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. The gospel is for all. Worldliness is everywhere. People need to come out of worldliness to godliness, because the gospel saves, Romans 1:16. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So the gospel is important, and it needs to be witnessed in our lives, Matthew 5:13-16. If you're a follower of Christ, others can see it. But it also needs to be taught, because people cannot be saved without the gospel and believing in it and hearing about Christ and his sacrifice, the shedding of his blood, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So can I obey God without faith? No, Hebrews 11:6. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So the issues of the day in 2023 are the same issues that they faced in 1900 and 1800. And the beginning of time back in the Garden of Eden that Adam and Eve faced. So we still face the same temptations as mankind has faced all down through the ages. The difference is, how are we going to deal with it in our life? Are we going to listen to God and obey him? So we get to today. I marked it in the last week when we left, when we concluded our other service. We get down to Galatians 5 verses 16 through 25. Where the fruit of the Spirit, if we obey God and we let his application of his word apply in our life, we'll bear the fruit of the Spirit and please God. We have that choice. Or if we don't obey God and let the lust of the flesh lead us away, then we see what happens to those who follow the lust of the flesh. They're going to be destroyed. They're going to be punished forever and ever in a fire that's never quenched, in a lake that burns with fire and brimstone. So we need to choose godliness rather than worldliness. So let's get to our Bible reading this morning, Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. Galatians 5, beginning in verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lust against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Think about the impact of worldliness on my life and your life when we engage in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, the things of a fleshly nature and are worldly and not godly. Think about the impact it's going to have us in eternity. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we have a choice. We can practice the things of the world. God gives us a free moral agent. He makes us a free moral agent. We can choose him or mammon. But we can't choose both. We can't say that we're going to serve God and still hold on to the world and engage in those things because it will not please God. Remember last Sunday morning we talked about Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he'll love the one and hate the other. Matthew 12:30. You cannot serve God and mammon. So we've got to make a choice. Am I going to follow the works of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit? Let's see what the fruit of the Spirit is, beginning in verse 22. The blessings that come from believing in God, applying His word to our life, and dealing with the issues of the day through being spiritual. Applying the application of God to our life so that we can resist the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. What about that? Why should there be a law against such things that are good? That doesn't have to be. Because these things will not injure people. These things will not take people away from God. These things help people to draw closer to God. These things help us to draw closer to one another with the right attitude toward one another when we have the fruit of the Spirit. And verse 24, notice, and those who are Christ, that is Christians, you and I, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So when we hear about the issues of the day around us, and we're dealing with the issues of the day, the temptations of the day, and the things that are going on around us, we can't hold on to God with one hand and the devil the other. We've got to make a decision. Am I going to be spiritually minded and go after spiritual things, or go after the things and the ways of the world? Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So we don't have to worry about things. If we trust in God and do what he tells us, then the things that are necessary and essential in life will come our way. But don't worry about those things, and don't lay up treasures on earth, but lay up on treasures in heaven, where moth and rust does not corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. So the difference in following fleshly things and spiritual things is that when we trust in the worldliness and the things of the flesh, that those things are going to vanish away. And those things will take us away from God. And those things are going to are not eternal. They're not something we depend on. So we're to trust in the spiritual aspect of things. So worldliness, that is the works of the flesh that we talked about, are something that we have to resist from so that we do not lose our soul in living in the ways of the world. Let's take just a little bit deeper look into these few verses here in Galatians chapter 5, beginning of verse 16. Paul is addressing Christians, the churches of Galatia, and he's telling them that walk in the Spirit, verse 16, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we have a safeguard God set up for us. He set up a safeguard for you and one for me as Christians, that if we are think on things above, that if we apply the things of God, that we don't have to be caught up in the works of the flesh. We don't have to be out here with the mobs of today disobeying the laws of the land and corrupting themselves and corrupting society. We can stay away from that if we have our mind set on law and order, and on God, and obedience to Him, and obedience to civil laws that are set up that are for our protection. So there's a difference in those who believe in God and those who don't, and it's evident. And the Bible teaches that there's always going to be a majority always has been, always will be among men that will not believe in God and structure of spiritual things and obeying God. Matthew 7, 13 and 14 talks about the fact that the straight and narrow way leads to life, eternal life. And those that be are few, but those that find it and follow it, that is, follow the spiritual things, will receive eternal life. But the majority are going to choose the broad, the wide, the way that's so easy to go, the way of least resistance, the way that everyone else is involved in, worldliness. And when they choose that, the broad way, the wide gate, leads where? To destruction. So the Bible tells me and you that we have a choice. What's it going to be? How are we going to deal with the issues of the day? How are we going to teach our children how to deal with the issues of the day? How are our children going to tell their children how to deal with the issues of the day? Well, it's in the book. It's in the Bible. And the Bible does not need to get lost. It does not need to be disregarded. It doesn't just need to be placed on a shelf somewhere just as a plaque for someone to see and then remember that it's the Word of God. But we need to remember the words. That's what's important. The words of God. They're quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is so wonderful and so good that it's given for inspiration of God and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, and righteousness that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So to avoid worldliness and stay away from worldliness, I need to study the Word of God. I need to desire the sincere milk of the Word. So there are issues today. If you picked up a newspaper, which I don't believe there's very many in print, but if you go online and you read the newspaper of the day and you see the headlines, this mob burned down this building. These people are pointing their fingers and condemning people that want to serve God and be a man and a woman, but they're coming after you. They're going to shut you down. Because what? Because you believe in God. Because you have principles, you have things that are of God. Who's coming after us? The people of the world. They're going after. And so we have to understand the issues of the day were dealt with by Noah. They were dealt with by Abraham. They were dealt with by Jesus. They were dealt with by the Apostle Paul. They were dealt with by other Christians. And the issues of the day we have to deal with also today. Through letting the Word of God live in us so that we can be spiritually minded and not fleshly minded. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 21. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so the warning is that we don't let these things take us away from God. So worldliness involves a number of things. It involves our thoughts. Think about that. Worldliness may result when our thoughts get out of line. Eve's thoughts were directed by the serpent in the Garden of Eden, and they got out of line, and she took his word for it rather than God's warning, and she ate the forbidden fruit. Our thoughts become impure when we fail to think on good things. Philippians 4, verse 8, whatsoever things are pure and lovely and a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, will do what? Think on these things. Think on these things. So when we deal with the issues of the day, our mind needs to be right. Our attitude needs to be right. Our thoughts need to be right. We need to go into it every day saying, I'm going to resist and not give in. I'm going to be steadfast and hold on to what's right. I'm going to make every effort I can today to obey God, thinking on things above, thinking on good things. Our words, if they are impure, then it makes us become worldly or like the world. Our thoughts, our words come from our thoughts. We got to think it before we say it. So we can be worldly by having our thoughts impure and then our words being impure. Ephesians 4, verse 25 and in 25 through 31 includes a number of things that are wrong with speech. So that includes lying, gossip, euphemisms. For example, someone may use Jesus' name as a byword on a regular basis in their conversation, and some people don't even think anything about it. But by doing that, they're defaming the name of Jesus because they're not keeping it holy. Or they're used in taking God's name in vain. Or they're swearing by God on a regular basis in their conversation. And so these euphemisms that they use, referring to God and Christ, that takes their attitude away from who God really is, if they even know, and who Jesus really is. And it shows disrespect for God, Jehovah God. So worldliness will result, if I don't keep my thoughts right and I don't keep my words pure, worldliness can result then, and it can also result when my actions are wrong. We think it, we say it. We think it, and we do it. You got to be careful, haven't you? If we can learn to control our thoughts, we can learn to control our words, at least reel them in. Maybe a slip up occasionally, because we're human. But we can reel in those worldly actions too. Going back to Galatians 5, 19 through 21, putting worldly things away. Titus 2, 2 through 8 talks about the manner in which Christians are to live. Older men, older women, younger men, younger women, preachers, servants, employers. It talks about the way we ought to live. And it's not worldly. It's not to be all the world. It's to be of a godly manner, serving God and following Him. Well, worldliness may result when we let evil associations influence us. It could happen at work. We could be led into wrongdoing. It could happen in general speaking in society, at school. It could happen in the neighborhood. It can even happen in homes. When we let evil associations influence us to partake of the things that they are doing that are wrong, we got to be careful. We got to stand our ground. And don't let others get so close that we become a part and participate in the sins that they're participating in. These are warnings. These are things that we can apply in our life. And so the warning's there. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22, and 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Abstain from every form of evil. Evil communications corrupt good morals. But notice there in Thessalonians, he says, prove all things. Test things to see whether they are good. So, we can see, we can read, and we can watch what's going on. And if we evaluate that by the Word of God, and it's not good, just don't do it. If people are involved in things that are not good, don't get involved in it. These are things that we need to be concerned about in our life today. So we got to the blank slide that I inserted, and that gives me the signal that it's time for the invitation song and start the next series in the second worship period. Looking forward to adding this class this morning. I hope the lesson this morning will encourage us to understand that we live in a day when there are issues, just as mankind has always done. What are we going to do with the issues of the day? Are we going to serve God? Are we going to do His will? Are we going to serve Him faithfully? If you're here this morning, we help you in any way while the invitation song is being sung, and afterward, please come while Peter leads us.
Just the grandest thing through the ages, just the grandest.